I was fortunate to play at a very good basketball school. And then you go away and you coach and you think that, you know, if I ever had the chance to coach here at Maryland, it'd be great. But I never thought I'd have the opportunity to come back and coach at Maryland.
Trimble with 3 seconds. Trimble for the win!
Cowabunga! A sellout crowd of 43,000 cheers Queen Elizabeth and her consort Prince Philip. Very special guests of the University of Maryland.
90 seconds to go. Vasquez for three in the lead. 78-77 Maryland.
I believe that the Terrapin is the loveliest, perhaps the most beautiful of all trees.
There's Wells to jump out, make the depth, and slam it. Yikes. Brown will take it inside the five. Touchdown, Maryland. Terrapins beat Virginia Tech.
And no handshake for the coin toss from Maryland before the game today. It is on.
Okay, grab shell, dude.
Rogers! Rogers!
And breaking free for the touchdown is Jay Sean Jones on his first touch as a Terp.
You're listening to Inside Maryland Sports Radio.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was a stamp of approval for a promising Maryland basketball team, winning the Orlando Invitational and stomping a solid Notre Dame team at home after reaching number 3 in the AP Top 25. It was the merciful end to a miserable football, Maryland football season that now leads to a big offseason shuffle in hopes of salvaging the program from the basement of the Big Ten. And together, we will take you through it all, as we are IMS Radio. And today, it's a small group with big brain power, as Jeff Ehrman and I break all of this down for you and prep for a big couple of weeks for both programs before the Christmas holiday. Jeffrey, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Had a good Thanksgiving, I hope.
Yes. Hanging out with the family, the peeps in Maryland, and seeing a lot of family and not playing. We have this football game that we did every year with all my friends from high school about 10 years ago, 12 years ago. It stopped being tackle about 5 years ago. It became hard to get it. And this year was like, nope, sorry, man. Won't be there. Oh, nope. I'm in Boston. No, I'm in just sad to see those things go by the wayside, but man, it is so hard. If you're in town for a few days, wherever you go, it's so hard getting people together on Thanksgiving now that we're getting to be really freaking old.
I was going to say the best part of that is nobody was in Boston. Nobody was elsewhere. They were just too old to want to play.
Like, yeah, one guy was like, no, I'll break if I play. But I'm like, dude, we're not playing tackle anymore. We're not, we're not idiots. Like, we're way past. Like, I even think back to that, not when I was 20, but even when I was like late 20s, 30s, like, how did people not break bones and get teeth knocked out and stuff? Like, we actually did that.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it was good. It's nice to have basketball games, Maryland basketball games to watch during the holiday every day. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, see, I missed all that. We actually ditched our family and went to Amsterdam for a couple days because, you know, why not, right? We had some points and, you know, the kids were happy at grandma's. We're like, all right, peace, bitches. We're going across the ocean.
Are you still stoned or have you returned to your rational mind yet?
Oh, I'm not any more stone than I normally am. Yeah. No, I mean, I've never been a giant guy on that level anyway, not since college and high school, but the edibles were fun. I'll go give it that. Something called a space cake, man. It's that shit's for real.
I've always wanted to get to Amsterdam one of these days.
Cool town, man. Easy flight out of Philly. Anyway. Yep. All right. So let's go to the sadness first. Maryland football lost 19-16 in a game they probably should have won. Heard that before. At Michigan State, pretty much putting the final nail in the coffin of what a couple months ago looked like, you know, possible real breakout season for Maryland and for Mike Locksley in the Big Ten. And boy, did it not end that way.
Yeah, it was, I mean, seven after that. As high as they were riding after those first two games, how hard would it have been to convince you they were going to lose seven games in a row to end the season?
Remember how much we were dogging the over under 3.5 wins?
Yeah, let's not bring that up.
Dude, what the fucking Bullocks in Vegas, man.
Yeah, I was definitely making fun of Vegas on that one. I mean, the thing was, there, other than Michigan State and Indiana, those were all blowouts, like bad blowouts, not even like the kind where it kind of gets away from you and you end up losing by 21 in the end. Those like 40, 50 point blowouts several times. I think the only two that were under 26 were those two games. So bad times.
Yeah, I mean, you could convince me that there was still a point in that Penn State game where if Jackson doesn't throw that pickle in the end zone and Hamler doesn't get loose on that, that Maryland might have played with those dudes for a while. But, I mean, it just looked like as soon as things got tough, man, they just freaking broke.
Yeah, they folded. It's really surprising because, you know, that's always been the story about Locksley, aside from being a really good recruiter, is that he relates well and the players play for him. And they did first time around when he took over midway through the season for Edsel. The kids played really hard, but not this time. You know, it's hard to say they quit because we're not on the field. We don't necessarily know everything that's going on, how much of it is just talent discrepancy. But clearly they weren't playing their hardest at all times by any stretch. But a lot of it is a talent thing. I mean, that especially that defensive side of the ball, after those injuries, they were really overmatched. But, you know, you can't use that as an excuse when you're getting blown out by teams like Purdue and Nebraska. You know, you should be able to at least hang with those teams. They're not very good.
Yeah, I mean, the Purdue game was kind of the one where it's inexcusable. It's like that was a portion of the season where you could still find a way to six wins. I mean, they were sitting out there and, you know, the way that they just got blasted in that game, you could tell like these guys were just done. Like they weren't going to play anymore. And I don't, you know, if you're looking for like a big picture answer here, like, I don't know what it is. I don't think it's schemes. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, talent. I mean, some of it's talent, you know, the line play is so bad, but I don't know. I just don't understand what, you know, takes these guys that Maryland recruits on both sides of the lines, you know, that are 4-star type guys, high 3-star type guys, guys with offers at places that matter. And they just don't do it here. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if they're just too small, if it's a strength and power kind of thing, if it's a, you know, rankings are just wrong. You know, the offers aren't what they say they are, and it's just a confluence of these things. But, like, the lines on both sides have been so unbelievably bad. Like, it doesn't matter who's quarterback. You know, it doesn't matter how good your secondary is, because if you can't hold up on the lines, the matchup's just too tough. It's the game's over before it begins.
The offensive line, they've had that talent that you mentioned, and they can't seem to get out of their own way. A couple years recently, they've been acceptable. Disappointing more often, though. The defensive line, they haven't got. That, to me, is more of a recruiting thing. They just can't seem to get talented kids on the defensive line. I mean, you know, they've gotten some decent. They're not getting 4-star kids that nearly as often on the defensive line, especially tackle. Daddy twins didn't work out. You're playing with the kid Olu, who, I mean, how big, what's he, like 285, playing nose tackle?
Right, and then McLean didn't work out, and then Spence didn't work out. It's like every time you do get a decent recruit, especially on the defensive line, like they just disappear, and then you end up playing a walk-on.
Exactly, and I mean, the pass rush was non-existent. That's got to be, I haven't looked up the numbers, it's got to be the worst. Well, last year was actually pretty bad pass rush, too. I don't know. I think they had a lot more sacks last year. I'd have to look it up again.
Yeah, Coward Nana Bonham had a decent amount.
Yeah, definitely. It was disappointing last year, but it was better than this year. I think a ton of it traces back to the 2017 class. You know, you look at that, that's the class that everybody got all excited about with Durkin, number 17 in the country, Maryland's best class ever. And you look at it, I think 6 of the top 10 guys still haven't or never did play for Maryland. Several of the other guys just ended up being overrated. So that class, those are the guys who are your, what, juniors this year, I guess, or redshirt sophomores. And
the guys who should be the heart of the program right now.
Exactly. And outside of McFarland and Leak and a couple other guys who've been solid but not great, that class is really, really underwhelmed compared to their rankings.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal to look back at. You know, it seems like, you know, for all of the recruiting success that Durkin had, if you dig really deep into those numbers and look at those names, you know, a lot of it seemed like it was more smoke and mirrors than actual success.
Yeah, those classes were clearly overrated. You know, I mentioned the 2017, Durkin's first 2016 class. You know, there wasn't a star. There's not a star in that whole bunch, unless you count Antoine Brooks, who's a really good player, might make the NFL and was actually one of the lowest ranked kids in that whole class. So that class doesn't have, you know, you've got some solid contributors, you know, Jake Funk, Tino Ellis, Terrence Davis, but you don't have a lot of big impact guys. 2017, you know, more than half of the top 10 kids in that class never ended up playing. And so Loxley's been a little bit of a victim of that. I think people have overstated the talent that he inherited just by looking at the rankings. They don't look any deeper than that and see that he really didn't inherit all that many good players. Clearly, that's not to excuse him from what was a bad season that should have been better, but there wasn't a lot there for him. But, you know, now the thing is you're losing a lot of those guys or letting those guys go to transfer. So not only do you have to, you know, try to already do what you were going to have to do in terms of recruiting and upgrading the talent overall, you also have to replace all these bodies with hopefully guys who are at least capable of playing in the Big Ten. It's a enormous challenge for him this offseason.
Yeah, why don't we get into that a little bit? The first two things on the docket are both of Maryland's excellent running backs, Anthony McFarland and Javon Leak, going to the NFL. This wasn't entirely too surprising, maybe a little surprising on the Leak front, but, you know, he's clearly got the talent. And I think both of them are probably, you know, second day draft picks at this point, if not better.
Yeah, that's a killer. But like you said, not surprising. Running backs only have a certain shelf life. You know, both guys are going to be drafted. I'm with you. I think Leak, you know, not to take away from McFarland, but I think I'd take Leak. I think he's one of those, the next in line of those Maryland guys who get overlooked until people start taking a closer look after the season. I was told he's expected to be in the somewhere in the fourth or fifth round, but could rise up to second or third with good workouts. But now, you look at the running back. Ahmed actually had a really good story this morning, or yesterday morning, I should say, on the running back future. And you look at it, those two guys leaving, that leaves you with three veteran running backs. Two of them are coming off major injuries that are not the first major injuries of their career, in Lorenzo Harrison and Jake Funk. The other one, you know, Tayon Fleet Davis, has a pending court case. There's no telling. You know, I could very easily see him being, you know, asked to move along, or him deciding to move along. And, you know, one of your freshman running backs, who's one of your highest rated recruits, Ebony Jackson, had an ACL tear, and I don't know if he'll play all of next season either. So suddenly it's gone from
Penny Boone time, right?
Yeah, by far your strongest position. You know, and that's not to take anything away from those guys. I think Lorenzo Harrison could be a good college running back if he's healthy. He's small, which hurts him, obviously. Jake Funk is a really smart, really good all-around versatile player. He's not a feature back. And, you know, Fleet Davis, again, who knows if he'll ever wear a Maryland uniform again. So suddenly that's gone from your strongest position to, you know, a weak one.
Yeah, fun times.
Yeah.
okay, so we had talked about this before. I think for a while it had been clear that there were going to be a number of transfers this offseason. Mostly it feels like, at least from the whispers you hear coming out of the program, that it's mainly the coaching staff asking some kids to move along. What kind of list do we have at this point on kids that have entered the portal? And where do we feel like we are at this point in the process?
I don't have the full list in front of me, but like you said, it's mostly guys who didn't make much of an impact, who were either encouraged to move along or decided they weren't going to get an opportunity to really help at Maryland. Some, I think, you know, it was a cultural thing. Staff, you know, that's Loxley's big thing, from what I'm told, is fixing the culture, getting guys who are going to play harder and have better habits off the field and things like that. The cornerback, Fofi Bazzi, who hadn't played in his first 3 years. He was a redshirt sophomore. He's leaving. He had a couple of wide receivers, Jaden Carrier.
Yeah. Jarrell. Another, God, I can't believe he didn't work out. His video was so good coming out of high school.
Yeah, that 2017 receiver class was supposed to be a strength. They took like four receivers, and it just, with the exception of, I guess, is it Cobbs or Daryl Jones that were in that class, or maybe both? I don't know. They all blend together for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they all got jumped, basically. Sean Nelson, too.
Yeah, Sean Nelson also. That's right. So, you lose both those guys. So again, those aren't really hurting you in terms of like guys who've made an impact, but you still need special teamers and guys in practice. And, you know, those guys would have at least been upperclassmen who've been around, you know, and have matured physically. So you lose both those guys. I won't be
both
surprised.
The Gaddy twins are gone, right?
The Gaddy twins both left. I think that was definitely, there was no fight put up to keep them on board, I'll put it that way. I think that right. There's a reason they were the first two out the door. I think that covers maybe all of them, unless we're forgetting somebody, you know, aside from guys who had transferred a little earlier. Trayron Collins left a few weeks ago, defensive back who also wasn't playing much. Johnny Jordan hasn't transferred. He's still away from the team. We don't know what his deal is, and we don't know what's going to happen with these quarterbacks. I really have a hard time seeing all these quarterbacks coming back next year when – you know, the book is kind of out on everybody, and everybody also knows that Lance Jean is the chosen one, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's been weird. I mean, here, I pulled up this, the Maryland 2016 recruiting class. Let's go through this real quick, and you can just see why now, these guys would be going into their, would they be current juniors or?
Yep.
No, they'd be redshirt juniors or seniors right now.
Yeah, they'd be fourth-year players right now.
Right. So you got Terrence Davis, who's been good when he can play. Tino Ellis, probably draft pick, you know, or a decent shot at making an NFL team, I would say. Richard Merritt, nope. DJ Turner never really lived up to the hype, to be honest.
Multiple off-field.
Yep, some off-field stuff, too. Lorenzo Harrison can't stay on the field. Antoine Richardson did an ACL. Is he still with the program? Is he still?
Yeah, you know, he better be back. They need him back next season. He's one of their best players if he comes back, but he missed all this last season too, obviously.
Right. You got the Daniels twins transferred out a while ago. Pig Rome, who might be on his way out too for, you know, just can't win the job or keep it. Brett Shepard, no idea what happened there. Ladarian Wilson. I'm not sure.
I don't even remember.
Show up?
I don't even. That's a good question. I'm reading it too, and I don't even know if he was that. Was he on the team?
Is I don't even know.
I don't know. So. Who would have heard his name? He must have. Yeah.
I thought he might have made it a year. They were going to work him as like a fullback because he was a big, kind of a big kid, but it never worked out. I don't know. No. You know, Jake Funk, Brian Plummer. Yeah, I don't know. It's okay.
Still on the roster, right?
Okay, maybe.
I think so. Not yet.
Has not contributed. Let's put it that way.
If as closely as you and me follow this, if we can't remember if the guy's on the roster, that you know that pretty much says it.
It's not great. Bortenschlager probably on his way out. Quantrez Knight transferred. Noah Barnes, who I think is graduating, moving on, right?
Yeah.
Antoine Brooks, hero. Who probably doesn't have the NFL in his future, but I hope he's an excellent accountant or whatever he chooses to do, because he laid his life on the line for this program in a way that I don't think any of these other dudes did. So love him. Wish him the best. Deion Goldborn. And Wade Lees, who played for UCLA this year for reasons I still don't really understand.
Rough pass.
That's the whole class. We got the other guys. Tyrek Tisdale. I don't think he ever made it.
No.
Trevon Stott, who got processed, right?
Processed. Yeah, and supposedly is a reason why. I don't know if that's even true.
Why we're shut out of good counsel?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, they're not getting kids from those other schools necessarily either. I think that's – who knows?
Yeah, it's a good excuse, if nothing else.
Yeah.
And my boy Tarek Zingale, which is an excellent name, but
no. He is a Reggie Cleveland All-Star, if ever there was one.
That's right. So that's that entire class. I mean, those are the guys who should be leading this program right now. And, like, you've got, you've got two fair, good players in, Davis and Ellis. You've got a couple of contributors, and that's it. I mean, that's not good.
Terrible. No, zero stars. I mean, Brooks is a semi-star. He could probably play for anybody he wouldn't be a star on.
Yeah.
He'd be a really good player for, Michigan or Ohio State, whoever else in the Big Ten. But that's your only, quote, star in the whole class. That's terrible. Most of the guys never even contributed anything. So that's why when people hammer Loxley about all the talent that Durkin left him, I don't want to stand up too loudly because I don't want to look like I'm the homer just trying to.
Right.
In the coach's good graces, but it's true. He didn't have much.
Yeah. I mean, let's look at the highly recruited kids from 2017. This was the number 18 class in the country. McFarland, obviously excellent. Deion Jones. Nah. And he's played, but he hasn't been great.
He's there. He's depth.
Yeah. I mean, Marquise Bell made it a semester. Marcus Miner, again, he's played. He's been fine. He started a decent amount, but I don't think anybody's putting him,
put
him on all Big Ten teams or anything. No. Kasim Hill out the door. Jordan McNair. It's just, I don't even want to think about that anymore. Cam Spence never touched the field.
Retired.
Yeah.
Retired from football.
Yeah. I mean, both the Gaddy brothers. Taj Capehart hasn't touched the field due to injury. Ace Ely and Javon Leak have both played well, obviously. But, like, after that, I mean, it's just sadness.
Nobody who's, Tayon Flea Davis has had some good moments, but, he's got his deal now.
Johnny Jordan's been good.
At times he was, he seemed to kind of regress a little bit this season. And then the rest of those guys, Lautez Rogers, he was supposed to be a good pass rusher, got injured, I guess. Or no, he didn't get injured this year, right? He just never
was any good.
He never stepped up.
Ahmad Miller, nope. Taran Hunt, still here, not playing. Bryce Brand hasn't done anything on the end either. I mean, just yes. A bunch of dudes.
That's closer to like the 47th, 48th class in the country than the 18th.
Right. And when the two guys who are real stars out of that class are running backs, that's not going to help that much. You know what I mean?
No.
It's not how you build a program, having a couple of really good skill position guys. Like, you need the lines. You need these positions that matter. Kasim Hill not working out was a dagger. Having some of these offensive linemen not work out was just another dagger.
Yeah, Kasim, that's an underrated one. We've kind of forgotten about him because he's been out. Mm-hmm. He was out last year and then gone, but that was a dagger. I mean, he was supposed to be the future. Not that they would have been great this year, but if they had... It's still a mystery to me what happened to him. He looked so good at the beginning. And then that year he started, it was, he was, not to pile on to him, but he struggled every bit as much as Josh Jackson, if not more. He was really, that was a rough year. Maybe he was still injured. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It looked like he felt like he got Jordan Steffi at Virginia Tech. You know what I mean? Like somebody just killed his soul at some point, and he just could never keep his eyes down the field. He was just waiting for the next rush. I don't know. Just, and I'm not saying that like I would be in there just, looking long every time and letting it play out. I mean, it's a tough position, and, the guys just haven't been able to get it done. And that's the whole thing. I mean, you don't have a good quarterback. Or even an average quarterback, you're not doing anything in college football. And Maryland just continues to cycle through guys who cannot get it done. And I don't know whether maybe it's the offensive line that's the problem. And no quarterback can survive behind a terrible offensive line in a conference like the Big Ten. Maybe. I don't know. But that's got to change. Or we're going to be sitting here having the same conversation every November and December until the end of time.
looking at the classes. So Cobbs, Brian Cobbs, and Darrell Jones were both 2018. I had mentioned them earlier.
Okay.
They were not a crowded 17 class. And they're a big reason why those kids obviously are leaving, because they can play and surpass them on the depth chart, obviously. So you get, you know, you kind of forget about a few guys like that who can have shown some things, and you get Jayshon Jones back. Everybody's kind of forgetting about him.
Yeah.
And if Demas comes back, you could actually have a pretty decent, not great, but decent wide receiver group, I think. At least it's maybe one of the lesser concerns. So there's receivers could be passable.
Right. I mean, Jayshon Jones is the type of receiver it looks like Locklear needs in this offense. These kind of quick twitch guys. You know, somebody who can get open in the middle of the field and kind of make a play. You know, so that's what you hope for. But we're a long ways away from that right now. We do have a fairly big recruiting weekend this weekend. Do you want to give us a heads up on that?
Yeah, they have a bunch of kids coming in this weekend. Ed's been recruiting on all of it throughout the week, but actually he just broke his pretty good story on a blue chip kid that they're trying to flip who will be in this weekend. I'll let you guys read that on the site, but there's some others, actually a four-star, another four-star receiver named Brian Robinson from Florida. That's one of the top dogs. He's number 174 player in the country, 30th ranked receiver and 26th in Florida, which is like being number two in any other state. So that's a really big one. The crystal ball favors Florida State, so it might be an uphill battle, but you know, that would obviously be a huge one. A kid named Kaiwan Herndon, another athlete from Florida, former Ole Miss commit, who is not as highly ranked, but you know, has some pretty good looking video, is that smaller, fast kind of guy they want. He's also coming in. He could be a running back or a receiver. You know, obviously with them needing more running backs, he could be a guy that they, you know, might have just invited after these two guys went pro this week. There's a lot of other guys. There's a couple stories on the site with a list of other players coming in. Safe to say, you know, they don't have a lot of time left. The early signing day is less than 2 weeks away, and Locksley needs to add as many guys. You know, you don't want to just add guys for the sake of bodies, but at this point, you got to add anybody you think can play at this level with all these transfers that they're losing. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be a desperate scramble to sign kids, because they'll be really active with the transfer portal. I'm sure he'll pull a few rabbits out of his hat there, but you know, it was already going to be a challenge with a, you know, 40th ranked, sub 40 ranked class. I don't remember what they were, 48 or 50, low 50s, as of like a week ago. And now, again, having to try to upgrade that class and replace all this depth, you know, makes kind of tenuous for next season at best.
Yeah. Yeah. Tenuous. Well,
tenuous.
I'll just let that swim for a little while. Tenuousness. We are going to have a med back next week, and we'll go over the whole weekend and all that stuff in a little more detail afterwards. Hopefully maybe a commit or two, maybe a little more intel on how everything went down as Maryland has its first big official visit weekend in December. And with that, this concludes our coverage of the Maryland football team in 2019. Fucking A.
Exhale.
Yeah. All right. More fun stuff now. So Maryland basketball is probably actually pretty good. You know, every year we do this thing where we're not entirely sure whether Turge is going to give us the new thing or the old thing. It's usually the new thing for like a game or two, where they speed up and play aggressive and they look really good, and then it like falls back into the usual stuff. But this team looks different and it feels different. Maryland went down to the Orlando Invitational over Thanksgiving. They won some tough, scrappy games against fairly good Temple and Harvard teams, and then faced Marquette and our boy Wojo in the final, and just straight waxed them. And then came home with a title and had a somewhat tough game against Notre Dame at the Xfinity Center on Wednesday night in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. And then after another slow start, they proceeded to wax them too. Jeff, I don't want to do the thing where we're always like, I don't know if it's real this time, like we always do. But, you know, I kind of think it's real this time.
It's real. It is. It's real and it's spectacular, as Elaine Bennis would say. They're, I mean, you look at just, well, in terms of the style of play, clearly that's real. I mean, I believed him going this year. I believed it other times. I thought last year they would press more too, just because of the fact that he brought in Gary to work on them with it. But I thought it was real, and it really is, man. He has, you know, I guess people do change because they are, I think, 65th nationally and adjusted tempo. So they're running defense. You know, it's no surprise the defense is good, but it's even better than I thought it would be. Aaron Wiggins has just turned out to be a stud there. Offense hasn't quite come along yet, but it's real. He loves having that depth. He's switching it up every game. He's not worried about, you know, orange slices and making people feel good about playing. You look at Ricky Lindo, who was starting earlier this season and has barely played at all lately. So he's not, you know, he's kind of being a little more of a hard ass in terms of that, but he's getting a lot of guys into the game. They're running off misses. They're running off makes sometimes. I feel like it's real. The funny thing about it is they're finally doing this and he has his best team. And it also happens to be the best Big Ten that we've seen in forever. You know, it couldn't happen in a year where they could have just steamrolled everybody in the conference, although that should help them going into the tournament. But I think we're done having that conversation about, is it really, you know, that's not to say we're not going to have the conversation of, oh, how could they lose to this team, or how could they lose two in a row or whatever else.
It's but coming.
In terms of playing style and them being really good, I think we're past that conversation.
Yeah, it's just shocking to me. Like, it's like Turge was like a government middle manager or something who went on like some sort of like management retreat somewhere. And, you know, got like hypnotized and came back like a totally different dude, you know, like Ron Livingston's character in Office Space. Like, he's just like, ah, fuck it, man. Let's just run and, you know, see what happens. It's great.
Yeah, analogy. And he's even a different guy when he talks. He even sounds, he's got a little more swagger and how he talks after the game and stuff. It's maybe he got hypnotized or did like a Tony Robbins seminar or something. I don't know what it was, but. They're playing different, and he's more confident, less of the, you know, pessimistic kind of comments. Helps when your point guard is being the guy you wanted him to be forever. Not to say he was bad before, but Anthony Cowan has been so much more efficient and inconsistent and unselfish this year.
Just I said mature. It all preseason.
Yeah, mature.
I said it, I mean,
he wants to win. I said it. At all preseason, that's the key. People talk about Wiggins making this big step, and no, it's Cowan. Is he going to be this guy, this All-American everyone's hyping him up to be, which I kind of questioned, or basically who he's been, which is a really good point guard with flaws and, you know, not a top 10 or whatever player in college basketball that they had him in the preseason, but he has been a top 10 player.
He's been excellent. He was National Player of the Week last week. I mean, he's... It just, you know, you never know what's in a player's head. And we always do this, you know, the punditry and whatnot. You're always like, oh, that guy quits, or that guy's selfish, or that guy's whatever. You know, but it did seem at times where Cowan had a mindset before where, like, I have to shoot 25 times a game for my team to win. Like, I always felt it come from a good place, but it didn't always end in a good place. You know what I mean? And this year, either he's convinced that, like, the other guys can get it done so he doesn't have to do that, or he's just changed his mindset to the point where he's like, I'm just going to play in the flow, you know, and if I need to step up and we need a run, I can do that, but I'm not going to just chuck it. And that guy is the first team All Big Ten guy. That guy's the guy in the Cousy Award, you know, consideration. Like that's the guy we've been hoping for this whole time. And frankly, it's so rare to see that happen in between a junior and senior year. It's just kind of, you know, you almost have to be taken aback to some degree, just to see how far he's come in this offseason.
Yeah, you usually are what you are by that point in your career. He wants to win. Turgeon said it many times. You know, he's kind of come to realize that he's never won anything. I think he's frustrated, disappointed by that. You know, not even a single postseason win the past 2 years. and this is the last go around. And, you know, I think he's trusting his teammates more than he has before. Part of that is having a lot more talent around him. Than he, not to say he hasn't had some good players around him, but having the best team around him that he's had, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see if he can keep up this pace, avoid some of those pitfalls of the kind of the immature turnovers, you know, the turnovers you shouldn't see out of a veteran guy, or the three-point shooting slumps. He's shot the ball far better than he has. That's a huge part of it too. He's shooting the three so much better than he has earlier in his career. If he can keep up that kind of three-point shooting throughout the season, that's huge for them.
But 42% right now, and that's, you know, like extremely efficient too, like not just chucking up seven a game.
Exactly. 42%. He's hitting some deep ones. You know, I mean, he's, his assist to turnover ratio is better than it's ever been in his career. So that's the biggest thing. Everybody wants to talk about Wiggins because it's fun to talk about the upcoming guys, but it's really cliche, but they'll go as far as he takes them.
Yeah. And there are just so many different things you're seeing with this team. The way that they run, the fact that Turgeon's finally found, I think, his starting lineup, which ends up being a small lineup with Cowan, Ayala, Wiggins, Morcell, and Sticks at the five. I don't know if you can get away with that in all the Big Ten games, but that's certainly what they prefer to do. And it's a little different, too, in kind of a mindset, in that it seems like Turge has decided, this is what I'm going to roll out there. You deal with it. As opposed to setting his starting lineup kind of as a reaction to the team that he's playing against, which he's done in the past.
Yeah, and how big is it that they've stopped turning the ball over? I mean, mm-hmm. Who could have ever foreseen that? That just seemed baked into their DNA at this point. But, you know, they're number one in the Big Ten so far in turnover margin. I think they're plus four or so a game. While running faster, which kind of lends credence to the complaint or suggestion a lot of fans had all along, that if you go faster, you have less chance to pass the ball around 20 times and make a turnover. And, you know, I think that's proven true. Daryl Morcell's been great. You know, he's a guy, I feel like people, I've said it before, but they're too hard on him in the past, mostly because his jump shot was so bad as a freshman. But, you know, that's the kind of guy you win with as a role player. Tough guy who can do everything and, you know, just probably gives you more energy than anybody else on the court. So, I mean, this team, you know, a couple more wins and they'll be off to their best start in program history. Not that necessarily means guarantees you anything. They haven't really played, you know, they haven't played a top 25 team yet. So we have to keep that in mind too.
Yeah, they've had some tough, you know, I think they've probably played a couple tournament teams already and they'll have a couple more. Yeah. They've got Illinois on Saturday at Penn State, which has been a house of horrors for Maryland, on next Tuesday. Then they got at Seton Hall, which is a top 25 team after finals, I think, a week before Christmas. And one of the other things I noticed on the – talking about defensive end, it seems like they're switching up top on screens all the time. And it just feels like they're jumping passing lanes in ways. It just feels like a much more aggressive approach, whereas before they kind of played a little bit of that saggy kind of UVA style defense where they would let you shoot threes, you know, just kind of sag in and not, you know, kind of take up the driving lanes and not let you get to the basket. So it feels like on both ends of the court, like you're actively seeing different coaching styles and a different tactics, a much more kind of aggressive game, trying to take the game to other teams as opposed to kind of reacting to what they do, which is just fun to see.
Yeah, it's so much more fun to watch. Some of that also is the personnel, right? They're much longer than they've been when you have Sticks out there, Aaron Wiggins, who's about 6'7". You got Dante Scott coming off the bench. You know, in past years, the length and athleticism of the guys you brought off the bench, you know, you're bringing last year like Even Bender and Tomajic off the bench.
Yeah.
So you can't do those things. You don't have anybody making that kind of impact with that kind of athleticism. So, I mean, you have guys who are legit rotation players like Sorrell Smith and Lindo who've been buried the past few games because there's just, you know, he's got so many players. And that's why it's going to be, you know, we've talked about it before, but that's why it's going to be so interesting if Shaul Marriott is ready to roll in, you know, a month or so. Then, you know, if he's anywhere near as good as people say he is or can be, which there's no way he's going to be as good as he can be because he's hardly played the past couple of years. But if he's ready to make some sort of impact, you know, I feel like that's their biggest
area of concern right there probably is defensive rebounding once Big Ten play starts. So, you know, he could erase that concern, and then you just got to worry about starting to make some three-pointers.
Yeah, my ears perked up a little bit when whoever that TV announcer was the other night had said that Shaw was running and participating in a full-court scrimmage last week. So that's pleasant news, to say the least.
That's a scary thought. I mean, maybe he comes in and he's like trying to think of the last great 7-foot-plus. Maybe he's Hashim the Beat from UConn a few years ago.
And then that's you're a just deep like, pull. It's deep.
And then you just go undefeated on the way to the national championship, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much guaranteed.
It's cool. Yeah, whatever. You know, I had Alex Len come in, mid-season a while back. That helped.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, he could be Alex Len. There you go.
Yeah.
Sophomore version, though, not freshman.
Yeah. Well, just do that.
No, if he could be even freshman version of Alex Len, that's enormous.
Well, I mean, if the guy can go out and give me 10 minutes and 5 fouls, I'm pretty happy with that, to be honest with you.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to be better, at least better than the Mitchell twins, who have been solid reserves so far, just to even get on the court. So we'll see.
Yeah, if you're looking for like things to worry about, like you kind of wish one of the Mitchell twins might stand out a little bit more. You know, playing small is fun and sounds great and gets you ESPN SportsCenter highlights, but it's the Big Ten. You're still going to run into the Caleb Wessons of the world and, you know, Harms and guys like that, where you're going to need to have some beef underneath the basket to play against those dudes. So I guess you'd like to see one of them step up a little bit. You know, first it looked like Makai might be a little ahead of Mikkel, but now Mikkel showed me some things too, and I'm not sure Makai is maybe as ready as we thought. You know, they've been fine, but I think if you want to just look ahead and think, okay, well, if we're talking Final Four level team, Big Ten championship, like these are the things you need to look out for. That's one for me that's on the radar.
No, that's it. You're missing one. You're one big man short of being that. Not to say this couldn't be a Final Four team, but you're one big man short of having pretty much everything you need. I mean, those guys have been, and yeah, Mikkel's been surprising. I mean, he's not putting up big numbers by any stretch, but he's looked a little better. He was rated, he was 100 spots lower than his brother, I think, roughly. So, but yeah, that's why if Mariel can actually play, that's enormous.
Yeah.
Jalen Smith he's not an anchor. He's not a low post anchor. Like, he's a face-up power forward. He can play center a lot in college, but once you get against, you know, you're going against like Illinois on Saturday with those two big guys they have, you know, he's not built for that to be.
Yeah,
the
that's
down.
That's going to be an interesting test, just in terms of playing a team that's completely different than the way that Maryland is built.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of Mitchells, and maybe Lindo gets more of a chance. I would think he'll get more of a chance in that game. They'll be tests. They're good. I mean, they're not great. They had a big comeback and almost beat Miami after going down early the other day. I'm a little surprised they haven't been better than they have. I thought Brad Underwood was a great hire, but seems like Illinois in that spot where Maryland was several years back, where it's like, I mean, it feels exactly like Maryland was, where it's this proud program with insane fans. It's just no matter what they do, they can't seem to get things going again. I don't even know when the last time they made the tournament was. I guess
it's their head.
Six. Yeah, it was like 6 years ago, maybe some 5 years ago. I don't know. But anyways, they're a good example of the Big Ten this year, how deep it is. Because at the top, obviously, it's better than it's been with, you know, Maryland, Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, if they can figure out why they're, you know, once they get Langford back and figure out what's going on there. But then you also have a lot of these teams, Penn State and Illinois, that are going to be pretty solid, you know, not easy wins.
Yeah, I don't think we saw the conference coming as strong as they have this year. I mean, I thought Michigan would be okay. Ohio State would be pretty good, you know, but I mean, I don't think anybody expected that, you know, a Purdue would be able to knock off Virginia, or, you know, Penn State's had a couple impressive wins. It looks deep, at least in the first half of teams, with some elite ones mixed in there too.
Yeah, not just knock off. Purdue beat Virginia by 29. Michigan State's still weird. They were supposed to win the national title this year. I can't figure out, aside from Langford being out, what exactly. I watched them a couple times, and they don't really look all that good. They don't look like an Izzo team. Michigan, I thought.
Hold on. This is where we have to legally put in the statement. Yes. Izzo will have them ready by March.
I've buried him so many times, and every single time. I mean, he could have like you and me as a starting backcourt, and he would make me look foolish by March. It's really just incredible. But anyway, I'm sure he will again. But they just don't look like what they should be. Maybe it's all Langford. And then Michigan, I thought Beilein was this magic sauce. You know, I thought with him gone. And who knows, maybe that was just like a really good week where they had those two big wins, Gonzaga and North Carolina. And North Carolina doesn't look all that good. That win might have been better.
They look like crap. At face value.
No, Ohio State just absolutely boat raced them. Biggest loss differential at home.
In the Dean Dome ever, loss, right?
Yeah, at least under Roy. I don't know if they'd had one worse, but biggest loss differential since Roy's been there, which it said 16 years, which is crazy to me.
I'm pretty sure it's the biggest differential in the Dean Dome, which would go back to the mid-80s.
I mean, 20 Carolina losing there is rare, but losing by 26, that's like Duke losing to Stephen F. Austin almost.
It's Darby stuff.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, and then Indiana's looked pretty good. You know, they had a good win over Florida State, number 17. They beat them somewhat handily in the challenge. This is the best the conference has been by a lot since Maryland joined. Maybe they'll finally, whether it's Maryland or somebody else, maybe they'll end that drought of winning a national title, which has been like 500 years.
Yeah, Maryland is the last Big Ten team to win a title.
Yeah, it's a bad look. Like for a conference, it gets a lot of respect.
Yes.
Yeah. You should have won a title within the past 15 years, but.
Izzo's killed them. He won that with Mateen Cleaves back in 2000. Hasn't sniffed one since.
Yep.
All right. So Maryland's got Illinois on Saturday and at Penn State next Tuesday. We'll probably record maybe next Wednesday so we can sneak a review of that one in too. Okay. Basketball recruiting. Basically, Zion Harmon is the whole game at this point, the point guard spot outside of Kareem Main, who's going to wait until, I don't know, 2020 to decide when. I meant to say like that was far away. It's only a month away. It's a true statement.
By the time he decides.
That's right. We're going to party like it's 1999.
Exactly.
But yeah, so Harmon's the kid, right? You feel like at this point, if he would come, they would take him and walk away.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's the likeliest one. That's not to say it's a done deal. I wrote about him today, actually. They're still in it with Maine. I kind of feel like he's been talking up Marquette a little bit lately. Wonder if he watched that game. Maybe that changed his thinking. But those are the two. Good thing is for Turgeon now, you can probably relax a little bit because as well as this season's going and with everybody knowing Cowan's leaving, you know, there will be other guys who pop up and they should be a much more attractive option, you know, with them being kind of the it. I mean, they're getting as much hype as anyone else in the country right now. So that certainly doesn't hurt, but
well, I think the other thing too, if you want to look at it, is Ayala has played excellent this year, and he looks like a different dude, like physically and from a game perspective.
Yeah, he said he surprised himself with the dunk he had the other night against Notre Dame.
I wasn't sure he could dunk.
Yeah, he had one or two earlier this season that was shocking.
Yeah,
yeah, I didn't either. I don't know if he could dunk before that, maybe in high school, but he lost like 20 pounds. He looks totally different. I mean, yeah, it's funny to think that those first team, maybe the first or second team under Turgeon, I remember conversation being like, how many guys on our team can dunk? It was like two or three, or you know, or our guards can dunk. Maybe I don't remember. There weren't a lot of
dunks. Gary did not leave the cupboard stocked full of dudes when he rolled up.
Yeah, like, or at least like really exciting dunks. I mean, you weren't getting that out of
Panky,
James Packett and Panky and all those other guys, Sean Mosley. But this team's so athletic, and Ayala is much more athletic. Marcel, you know, obviously he's one of the more athletic wing guys in the Big Ten, Dante Scott, Lindo. I mean, you just look up and down the roster. The Mitchell twins play below the rim. They're the exception.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, Ayala's been really good.
He's another guy who just looks transformed physically from last year.
I don't know if I've ever seen a guy pull off that self-rebound put-back dunk on a three-pointer before. I mean, he got in there so fast, it was like a blur. I really don't know if I've ever seen that. And it wasn't like he just barely tipped it in with his fingertips. I mean, he spiked it with two hands. That was incredible.
I almost passed out when I saw it. I was just like, first of all, I can't believe...
Yeah, not do it too many more times, right?
Right. I just couldn't believe that Merrill missed shot. And then secondly, that he just stuffed it like over two
that was
other
Steve
dudes.
Francis-esque.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ayala...
Settle down with all that.
I mean, Ayala's still a combo, obviously. He'll be starting next year. He'll be a key guy, especially.
I certainly think he could play point. I don't think you're losing anything if he had to be the point guard, as long as you had a good scorer next to him. Because he certainly seems off the dribble. He's been able to create a lot more and get into lane a lot better this year than he did last year.
3-point shooting last year looks like a little bit of an anomaly now. Shooting with 26%, which isn't a big surprise. I mean, that was shocking last year. He came in. He's a guy who was supposed to be a good slasher and all-around playmaker, but not a good shooter. And so for him to shoot 40-plus last year was surprising. But otherwise, he's been really good. It's good. I mean, to have a guy like that as your fourth or fifth or sixth option on some nights is pretty good.
Yeah. So how do you feel about Harmon at this point in terms of looking at Maryland? Do you think Maryland's in the lead here?
I think they're in the lead. You know, I spoke with his dad last week, and the way he kind of made it sound was that he was taking other visits because he had promised to. That's the only other reason.
Right.
He didn't come out and spell it out that Maryland was in the lead or anything like that. He's still supposed to visit Seton Hall in Kansas. I can't tell if Kansas is really pushing or not because they got two guards, including one kind of lesser rated point guard. So I don't know. That could be one of those things where they continue to list the visit, but don't make it, or maybe he will. Maybe he is a take for them. It's hard to tell, but you know, I think Maryland's in the lead right now.
Yeah, and like you said earlier, I think with the hype Maryland's generated at this point, if they had to go with somebody late, even just for like a year-long grad transfer type, just to get them to the next recruiting period for a point guard, you know, they'll probably be able to figure something out here.
Yeah, it's going to be an attractive spot, you know, if they keep this up and with everybody seeing how well Cowan's played. Or you can just get Harmon and Main, right? Just load up and then Wiggins comes back. And Mariel is Alex Len or whoever, and there's your back-to-back national champions.
Yeah, just do the Florida thing. It's fine.
What I'd do.
Yeah, that's what I'd do. All right. Well, it's nice to have something nice to talk about because it's been a while. And we'll see if they ruin it for us over the next 7 days. That's what usually happens.
We shall see. A couple more wins. A few more wins might get them that number one spot for the first time ever. Only a few more weeks worth of wins probably gets them there. One of those teams is bound to lose. Both of them.
You'd like to think. And you know, it seems like Maryland's finally starting to get a little bit of that national hype. Like, I feel like nobody's even talking about them earlier in the season, even though they were ranked in the top 10, top 5. Like now you're starting to see the Sports Center stuff and, you know, getting a little bit of talk from the punditry and whatnot. So it feels like if they just keep playing at this point, they've got a shot at it.
Yeah, this is the most national brand name feel that I've seen revolving around the program since 2002 timeframe. You know, even that team of years ago. With Mello and Lehman and all those guys, they got plenty of hype. They're ranked just as high, but I don't think they had the kind of, I just didn't notice the same kind of buzz about them as with this team.
Yeah, this feels a little bit different in a lot of ways. And that's certainly one of them too. All right, guys. So, we're all set for this week. We've got a big week of basketball. Let's hope that Loxley can pull some rabbits out of his hat in terms of recruiting on the football side. We'll be back next week, probably that Wednesday or Thursday after Penn State, so we can talk about that as well on top of the official visit weekends. We've got the early signing period in football coming up. We'll have Ahmed here to talk about all of that. And otherwise, thanks for listening. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We are all over the Inside Maryland Sports.com message boards. We're IMS Radio. We are out.